Welcome to Gag Me With a Chainsaw, a horror podcast about 80s slashers. I'm Corey.
And I'm Sarah.
And we love scary movies.
Woo!
Hell
spring
yeah!
Break, spring break, baby! Coming to you live from a spring break, Bakersfield, California. It's me, Sarah. I've got my road dog, Corey.
What's up? You got
that guy from Sugar Ray.
Mark McGrath?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
It's spring break!
Hey.
It's spring break. I'm on spring break.
I'm on spring break.
We're getting Liddy Two Titty.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Two Titty?
I mean, that's standard.
Yeah, on this podcast it is. We don't settle for just titty. We have two titty. T-O-O. And T-W-O.
Okay. T-O-O. Yes.
Two titty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And?
Yeah.
Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Left and right. But hey, if you prefer one or the other, or maybe you only have one, that's fine too.
Yeah.
I just like it. Let me see your nipple. What is wrong with me? I told myself, Sarah, grow up.
No, it's okay. It's spring break. We're feeling
wild.
Oh, yeah,
it's spring break. We are feeling wild.
We're on our second martini, guys.
Hey, Corey, check these out.
Whoa.
I was going to say, have you ever seen them? But I think so.
Accidentally. In the pool.
I don't think I've seen your nipples.
Never?
Have you seen my nipples?
Mm-hmm.
When?
I didn't want to say anything.
When?
In the pool.
Oh, okay.
Corey,
what?
We get... Look, we're having a lot of good times. So. I don't remember. We're examining something about your bathing suit, I think. Where you were like, what does my nipple look like? Does my nipple look good? And I was like...
Okay. Last summer?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw... You're listening.
Beep.
I saw your nipple. You know.
Did you?
Yeah, popped out. Well, I think she knew. I think we told her, hey, your nipple's out. In your pool.
Okay. I know exactly when. Interesting. That's cool. Anytime that happens in your mind secretly, you're like, ooh. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We play it cool.
Yeah.
We've all
it's forbidden.
It's forbidden.
Not that part of the boob.
No.
Instagram banned.
Yeah. Shadow banned. Fully banned. Where were we? What happened? Yeah, we are on our second martini, right? We did one.
We did one.
Lemon.
Yeah.
And then we're doing one. Olive.
Mm-hmm.
What else could we skewer?
I feel like, martini with a side of potato chip.
Oh, yeah. You know what I like?
What?
A fucking filthy Tito's martini with some onion dip and some potato chips.
Oh, on the side. Not in the martini.
Not in the martini. Okay. On the side. Or some cheese and crackers. Or in a pinch, Funyuns.
Yeah.
At the fucking VIP in the dark. A dirty martini and a bag of Funyuns. Ugh. Ecstasy. I'm telling you. Sometimes I'm like, I wish I was there right now.
Yeah, that sounds good. Like, I don't even like chips, but...
You don't like chips?
I mean, I like chips.
You like sandwiches.
I love sandwiches.
And you don't like fucking chips. Well, I guess I was going to say this is like saying, oh, I love burgers, but I don't really like fries. But it is one-to-one. It's the same thing. A sandwich, a hamburger is a sandwich, and a french fry is a potato.
Like, if... Okay. If they're like really good chips, yes. Or if they have dip, yes. But otherwise.
Voodoo chips?
I like the voodoo. Well, I like the kettle chips, yeah.
Well, yeah. What? You don't like fucking chili cheese Fritos? Who does? My mom.
I used to love those.
See?
I can't eat them because I'm vegan. But
you
I do
like chips then. What?
Yeah, but it's like I
what don't
never
you like?
My go-to. I'm what never going to be like, ooh, I want some chips right now.
What about? Really?
No.
You never want a Cheeto? Well, you can't eat that.
Mm-mm. I just want a meal. Always I want a meal.
You always want a meal.
I don't want a snack. I want a meal.
Corey.
I'd rather have another sandwich than a sandwich and chips.
Speaking of nipples.
Okay.
My nipples are so hard right now. I feel it's not necessarily sexual. It's not. But I just feel so aroused by that statement. As a self-proclaimed sensualist, I'm like, yeah, I love that.
As a fantasist.
As a fantasist. I am, so what?
Yeah.
Oh, should we do
an episode?
Yeah, okay. Where were we? Oh, we saw our friend's nipples. And I've seen yours, but you've never seen mine.
No.
Okay.
I can't picture the areolas.
Okay. I'll get a little loose with them this summer.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a new bathing suit top.
Yeah.
So. Spring break.
Spring break.
We've had a really gloomy spring break, though.
Yeah. Today, I wore my slides. I was really pushing it.
I know, said, now your little piggies are cold.
No, now I feel good because this martini's like going to my toes.
We're warming up.
But yeah, on the way over here, I was like, what was I thinking? It's like partly cloudy. What?
Yeah.
With the chance of evils?
Well, with the chance of probably real rain, precipitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m.
3 a.m.?
Yeah, I'll be fine. Mm.
Get home in time.
Okay.
I've never been on a real spring break. When I was watching that Freaknik documentary, mm-hmm. I'm always like, this is just a life I'll never live.
I know.
Like college? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never.
College in that way.
Yes. You go live in a dorm? One of my little tutors, she's going to go to college in a dorm. And I'm like, I can't imagine. Can't imagine.
Yeah, that's a whole experience that I didn't experience.
I know. And I read about it in books and it seems interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can still go to Sarah.
I know. I always tell Jason that I'm going to move into the dorms at Cal State.
Lothlorien.
What?
We talking about this?
Oh, yeah. But it's
on
it's
the pod
Hobbits.
Before. Yeah, it's all Lord of the Rings themed.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'm going to be living
in I love it.
Gandalf Manor or whatever.
Rivendell. The Shire.
The Shire. Frodo.
Yeah, he's in there.
He's in there. So I'm not sweating it either.
Yeah.
But that's if I pass this math class. Only then.
Yeah.
Can I go on?
It's the true test.
And yeah, I mean, very literally.
And after that, it's going to be, everything's going to be easy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I like this class so much more than when I had to do that English class because it's just hard, yes or no, right or wrong. It's so much less subjective. Oh, I'm done with my homework. I'm just done. Like, I'll have to keep doing research or whatever. Fucking sucks. I want to write erotica only.
Yeah, exactly.
Cozy gangbangs. Hey, cozy mystery. Cozy gangbang. I'm feeling something.
Cozy mystery gangbang. Cozy
mystery. Somebody dies. Somebody dies. And Hercule Poirot is there.
Okay.
And he solves it. Is he cozy? He's a little cozy.
A little bit.
But it's hard. Well, he is British. That's cozy. No, he's French.
Automatically.
What is he?
It sounds Greek? French. No, he's, I feel like he's a random country.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. We're going to get so much hate mail from
Corey,
the murder mystery fans.
We don't get any mail ever.
This is the one issue.
Who's out there?
Send us some hate mail.
No.
Oh no! Send us a hate voice recording.
No.
I don't.
Pigeon.
What?
I hate pigeon with a little scroll tied around its leg. Put it on a piece of paper and roll it up.
Oh, I see.
And put it in a bottle. Throw it in the ocean.
I thought you said you hate pigeons.
Okay, no, I don't hate pigeons. Pigeons are fine.
Okay.
They can bring me a message. You can send me a hate mail like that or put it in a bottle.
Or say something nice.
Say something nice. Or roll it up and put it in a bottle, throw it in the ocean. And if it comes back to me, it was meant to be. Okay.
We have no way. Are we going to segue?
Let's just say we have no way to get between point A and point B here. Let me think.
Should we do another intro just in case?
You know what? The worst part is we're going to have to make another drink.
But not a martini,
but
probably.
You know what I like? What? I feel like... Never mind. I edit the show, and I hear, and when I was listening to us on the other show, I was thinking to myself, how come you can't stop saying like? And I feel that since I've been having a martini in a coupe glass, no, I'm lying to myself. I'm
that. When you listen back,
I'm the episode where Homer imagines himself all fucking cosmopolitan, but really, shit.
Just accept us for our like same selves.
It's spring break.
We live in California.
We're cross-faded.
Yes.
My martini has three olives in it. Corey's has three olives in
it. We're going to start a Patreon just to release this uncut intro.
Oh my God. Find out whose nipples Corey saw. I can't. She'd have to probably sign some sort of waiver.
Well, I didn't sign anything before I saw him.
No, by entering these premises here at my house, you agree to see anybody's nipples.
Oh, yeah, you do have those giant sandwich boards out front.
I do. The signs are everywhere. I have no liability here.
Just like Girls Gone Wild.
Just like that. I could be filming. I can't believe you've never seen my nipples.
I don't think so. I can't imagine the size of the areola.
Well, let me tell you, you wouldn't have forgotten. Should we go get our nipples pierced for spring break?
No.
It's back.
I don't want that.
Our movie right now is about an airplane crash. She wasn't going to spring break.
She was not. We haven't been good at being on themes because, look, we're busy ladies.
Yeah. It's true.
So we do the episodes when we could do the
episodes.
And also
we don't love our show. I love our show.
I love our show.
We were just totally reminiscing, talking about our baby, and we're like, we love our show. We love you.
We do.
Do you love this movie? We should get there.
I can't spoil anything.
Let's not spoil it.
We have not talked about this movie.
Should we?
Maybe.
Should we keep talking about nothing at all?
Maybe let's get into it.
Honestly, I think our conversation here has been quite titillating.
That's the perfect word for it.
I have a lot of off-the-air questions to ask.
Can't wait.
Okay, as you know, every episode we pick a movie from the Letterboxd list, every 80s slasher, an attempt by John Hillman. Our movie this week is Soul Survivor from 1984.
Yeah, I got a comment on Instagram that his VHS copy said 1983, I think. Yeah, it was like a weird... Some places say 83, some places say 84.
No.
So just want to throw that in there.
Could the internet be wrong?
The internet could be wrong.
Have you heard of that before?
Not that I know of, but I mean, it could happen.
I mean, anything's possible, especially when you factor in infinite timelines.
True.
So 83 or 84-ish. Mm-hmm. Let's call it ish.
Mm-hmm. I hope it wasn't 85. That'll be way off.
Oh, my God. It would be a disaster. I picked this movie.
Why?
Well, fate picked this movie.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Pure luck, lady luck, chance picked this movie when I put them a bunch of little piece of paper.
That's true.
In a hat.
That's true.
And I picked this movie. I have seen this movie before. Have you seen it before?
I had never seen it. I had heard of it, heard it was good, was From excited me. To watch it. Well, I had heard of it also. I don't know, remember where.
Oh, okay. Just give me my accommodations.
Well, you're the one that made me watch it, so props to you.
Oh, I heard about it somewhere else, but I don't remember where.
Probably a podcast.
This podcast. What I said it before.
Okay, Sarah, it's all you.
I'm sorry, Corey. Corey, don't get mad.
I Do I ever get mad?
No. You know why? Perfection. Yes. Perfection. I could never be mad at you either. I look at your face and I'm like, Angel.
Yeah.
I love her.
We know we have good intentions.
Thank you. Pave the road to hell? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
That's silly.
Pave the road to heaven if God's anybody that I want to be around.
Yeah. Well, let's not get political.
I'm sorry. I don't want to offend your faith.
What is wrong with me? Fate picks this movie. Fate plays a big hand in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Soul Survivor, 1984-ish. Directed by Tom, the spell with a T-H.
Ooh.
Where you're like, Thom.
You want to say Thom.
And also, like, what do you want me to do with that?
Yeah. I agree. As you a teacher,
I
get a lot of weird spellings.
It's like, okay, when I said that out loud, I hear nothing different. So you're being special for what? Yeah, it's the essence. The essence of that H is there. Look, who am I to talk? In Spanish, the H is silent. So, whatever. Tom Eberhardt. He also has a silent D.
Oh.
He's doing too much. Who also directed Night of the Comet.
Yeah.
That was also released in 1984. Confirmed.
That's not on our list, is it?
Is it? No, it's a zombie movie.
I know, but some of the movies on the list.
I was just going to say.
This is kind of a zombie movie.
Hey.
Hey.
Spoilers. I'm going to cut that.
Okay.
But this is not a slasher. I think we can go ahead and say that up front. The next movie, kind of tough to call it a slasher.
Yeah.
So it happens. But I don't think Night of the Comet is on our list. And he also directed the Kurt Russell Martin Short classic, Captain Ron.
Ooh.
A movie that is like kind of fun to watch on a Sunday afternoon with your family.
I have not seen that since I was a kid.
Yeah, maybe your dad makes tri-tip.
He totally would.
Yeah.
Kern County tri-tip.
It's an unknown meat in other places.
For some reason.
Sunday is the day that your dad gets down and he makes a tri-tip.
Yeah.
He gets energized for like that one afternoon. The rest of the weekend, don't even bother. Well, that's my dad anyways.
Well, my dad was always working on the car. We always had shit cars.
Oh, your dad was a car guy?
He was such a handyman. I wish I would have been into that and been like learning all the skills, but I didn't.
You know how many times my dad tried to teach me how to air up my tire? And I was like, why? You just come out and do it. You know I have to go to work.
Yeah.
And he would do it. Well, now I have YouTube, so it's fine.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to learn either way. And has it come up? Sometimes.
All the time. I'm living in a house built in 1939. So, yeah.
What were we saying?
This movie was not a slasher. Our dads
will pick the tri-tip. Yeah, Captain Ron. That's where we were. All right, that's our director. Tom with an H. Starring Anita Skinner as Denise Watson. She made no other films after this one and was in only one, Girlfriends, in 1978.
Okay.
Before this. I think that's on Criterion.
Oh, wow.
Also, Kurt Johnson as Dr. Brian Richardson. And this was his last movie. He died 2 years after this was released.
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. He's great in this movie.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Most of the rest of the cast has nothing super notable going on, but we do get to see Brinke Stevens, who was in Slumber Party Massacre.
Oh. I did not recognize anyone in this film.
I know. And you know what? The doctor, I was like, oh, I think I know this guy from somewhere, but
nah.
No. He just has one of those faces.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we already discussed, like, I had seen it. You have not.
No. I was excited to watch.
Well, I had always heard that it was, like, Final Destination-ish.
Yes.
And I guess we can discuss whether or not that is true at the end.
Okay.
But that was my expectation going in.
Mm-hmm.
Was it yours?
Yes. That's how I had heard of it as well.
From me.
From you and only you.
I'm the only person who's ever heard of this movie. We should really hand it over to Mark McGrath at some point.
Yeah. What is he going to say?
I was going to ask, what would he say? Something about...
He would probably say, shut the door, baby. Don't say a word.
And I would say, good insight, buddy.
Yeah.
Soul Survivor. 1984-ish. Our movie opens on the late night empty streets of an unknown town. Well, a soundtrack that sounds a lot like someone hitting the wrong answer on a Simon plays. It's a lot of like,
yeah.
Right? We settle on a young woman in a bloodied shirt sitting on a bus. She begins to pull a handgun out of her pocket when a different woman wakes up screaming.
Very confusing.
Oh, I know. I was all discombobulated. It was all a dream. The screaming woman is jolted out of bed, and as the contents of her bedroom begin to rattle, and I'm talking the entire opium holiday set, fragrance and lotion and body powder, it all topples over on her vanity.
Do you like opium? I remember hearing about opium and like smelling it, and I was like, wow.
It's too much.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Honestly, to be that kind of woman, I'm getting there.
Yes. It's an older woman scent.
I was going to say, I don't think you start out that way. But no. Recently, I've started wearing stronger perfumes, and I'm like, smell me to everybody, right?
Oh, yeah. I got this whole sampler, and like some of these are like crazy smells, but I'm like, I'll wear them. I bought the sampler.
When I was 16, I used to wear Chanel No. 5, which is like, when yeah. I look back, I'm like, yuck. But you know why?
Why?
I don't want to talk about it. My shameful past.
Wait, what is it?
My shameful rockabilly past.
I was gonna say, is it related to rockabilly?
Yeah, I had Chanel No. 5 on all of my little sweaters. I would get it for Christmas. You know, that's what one does. Anyways, this bitch, all her opium knocks over. Corey, we've got to stay on topic.
Yeah.
She sees a vision of a commercial plane crash. As she sees the mangled bodies and limbs of the victims, she scrawls the words, not dead, and Denise, on a very large pad of paper.
I've seen this in a few movies, and I like this because I feel like if I was psychic, I would be the automatic writing type of psychic.
Oh, it's the best kind.
What would you be? I don't think I would be tarot.
No.
Would you be crystal ball? Okay.
But I like automatic writing.
Yeah.
Like.
It's frantic.
Get a spirograph involved, maybe. Like, be unique.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But I do like that one the best. What is that? What else is there?
There's Seance, just like trance. Just going to a trance.
Trance is good.
Yeah. Seance.
Crystal
tea
ball.
Tea leaves.
Oh. Are you kidding me? Stop this right now.
Tea leaves is another option for me.
I would love to be able to read those. I want to get a little book that I'll put on my shelf and never open again. But no, crystal ball.
Okay.
Because I would like to do this. Yeah, I'm doing that thing.
Yeah, show off your nails.
Oh, yeah. Where you put your hand over the crystal
nails,
ball.
So I got to do automatic writing or tea leaves.
Tea leaves. I would do trance also. I would like that because sometimes I just stare into nowhere.
Yeah.
So I'm halfway. This lady, automatic writing. She seems terrified when she envisions a single woman sitting unscathed in her airplane seat in the debris field from the crash. This
soul survivor.
grips her armrest for dear life as a half a guy on the ground near her opens his eyes and begins to scream. End of opening sequence. Honestly, it's a great end of opening sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you like his guts?
I did.
Me too. Our screamer is Carla Davis, a washed up beach movie actress, possible witch, and or potential melatonin user.
All of the above.
Yeah. She makes attempts to warn the woman from her vision, but to no avail. Denise Watson, a TV commercials producer, is the only survivor of an airplane crash. And to make matters worse, she's scheduled to work on an upcoming coffee commercial with Carla.
Oh, nice.
Double homicide. After the crash, for 8 days at the hospital, Denise...
She prefers Dee Dee.
Sorry, Dee Dee is under the care of the single Dr. Brian Richardson. They get to know each other and play fun games where he makes her follow a pencil with her eyes. I've flirted like this before.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, somebody wants to flirt with me and they shoot like a little puff of air into my eye. And I'm like, come on.
What?
You know what I mean?
No.
They put your little chin on the machine and they're like, just look at the hot air balloon.
Oh, they're flirting?
I think so.
I thought that was just a yearly thing.
Well, they were so close to my face, though. Aren't you ever like, we could kiss right now?
No.
Oh. Sorry, Dr. Steve Ratty. He's assistant. He only comes in at the end.
I know, right? I was going to say, wow, you get the doctor for that
part? Imagine. Although she has almost no physical injuries, Dr. Richardson is concerned about any guilty feelings Denise may experience as a result of a psychological condition known as survivor syndrome. She's like, I don't feel guilty. I feel like I'm getting away with something, which is a concerning feeling. It sounds like OCD to me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Denise and the single but looking Dr. Richardson say their goodbyes. And Denise leaves through a back entrance of the hospital to avoid reporters who have coined her the Miracle Girl. Terrible nickname. She's a miracle woman.
Right? Get it right.
Hello. She's a producer. While waiting for her friend and next door neighbor, Christy Cutler, to pick her up, Denise sees a wounded girl standing alone on the hospital loading dock. The young girl is dripping wet and only stares at her without speaking or answering any questions. Suddenly, Denise is almost hit by a driverless truck that backs towards her. Christy arrives and reassures her friend that faulty brakes probably caused the truck to move. What is with this hospital? Not only are there potential ghouls and runaway trucks, besides Dr. Richardson, every other person we meet on the staff is very hostile.
That's true. They must have gone to the same medical school as the staff from X-Ray.
I was like, are they haunted to be mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So on the way home, Denise tells Christy about how she might have a little something cooking with the handsome and unattached Dr. Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
This suspicion is raised to new levels when the doctor telephones later that night to check on her. After confirming that this isn't a standard service provided by the hospital, Denise asks him to hold and moves from her desk to her bed to get herself all set up for some good old-fashioned flirty phone talk.
Remember?
After some pretty tame chatting, nobody ever even asks what the other person is wearing. But to be fair, she's wearing a fucking cardigan and a like a secretary blouse, like buttoned up to the neck.
Yeah, but you lie.
True. Denise invites him to watch the filming of the coffee commercial next week. Seems like a pretty good night, except the entire time they're on the phone, there are creepy vibes echoing through Denise's fabulously decorated home. That same night, Denise receives a mysterious phone call from Carla Davis, who warns her to keep her doors locked, then hangs up. Denise and her Felix the Cat clock share a look.
They do. Her house...
It's cute!
Does it remind you of Suspiria?
I wasn't thinking Suspiria.
There's all these like stained glasses everywhere.
Oh, that's true.
And like the real like monotone colors, like big splashes of color everywhere. Her mm-hmm. kitchen is all this one green color. I don't know. The setting was just like not, I'm saying like, the setting was not what you would think of. I don't know. It's not what you would think of as an example of a comfortable home necessarily, right? It's very, not affected, but very, it's very stylish.
It is. And she's kind of out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
I like that the Felix the Cat clock stops, right? Like mm-hmm. it stops ticking after these creepy vibes.
Yeah.
Time's up, Dee Dee.
Time's up, Dee Dee. On the day of the commercial shoot, Carla... Oh,
wait. This is also when we find out that this is a Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah. No, we found out right away.
We did?
Yeah, I saw some Christmas neon way earlier.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But she has that one beautiful red room with a yes. giant Christmas tree in it.
I know. Like, her kitchen was already cute, and then they showed that. I was like, what is this, the Madonna Inn?
Thank you. Whoops. Also, it's not just spring break. It's Christmas in July and March.
Oh, yeah, Christmas in July and March. On the day of the commercial shoot, Carla struggles with her lines and confirms everyone's impression that she is a washed-up alcoholic actress.
This TV commercial set is a very high-stress environment.
It's okay, Sarah. I'm sure she'll get it on take 69.
Nice. They said that and I was like, they don't even know. They did, though, right? 69
it
has
had
been
to
around.
Be on purpose.
69 has been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah. It was like Plato.
I was going to say the Greeks did it.
Aristotle came
up with
it.
The Romans definitely did it.
Carla's agent apologizes for his client's behavior and says she must have been intoxicated when she telephoned Denise.
He says, when she drinks, she makes phone calls. And like, same girl. Expect some phone calls from me tonight, everybody. I know Carla would be sending so many DMs.
Yeah, so many hearts on people's IG stories. Be like, yes, bro, that's epic.
No. So many like flames, right?
Yeah.
She's gassing up everybody.
Meanwhile, Denise is pleased that Brian has accepted her invitation and has arrived at the studio. After shooting is done for the day, Denise and Dr. Brian walk through the park. They chat and flirt and finally kiss.
I think these two have good chemistry. I like watching them kiss. What do you think? She's really funny and cute in the scene, I think.
I think she's a weirdo.
What? This bitch is flirting.
I don't know. I thought she was odd.
It worked.
You're feeling it.
I was feeling it. And also, he was too.
Yeah, it's true.
She goes, oh, I didn't know those assertiveness classes would pay off like this.
She did look cuter in this scene because she had a little hat on, mm-hmm. little fall look.
Oh, yeah. Totally a fall. Well, it's Christmas time.
Like her earlier outfit was just so ugly.
I don't remember, but she did look cute here. It's very soft focus.
Mm-hmm. So the two decide to spend the night together and they go their separate ways to get their own cars and leave together. As Denise is walking towards the vehicle, she hears her name.
Ominously.
I know.
You got it.
She hears her name ominously whispered on the wind.
Denise.
She's like, I prefer Denise. And is stopped in her tracks by a silent and staring old man. Later, as he's dressing to go to his post-coital shift at the hospital, Brian mentions that the body of a young girl temporarily disappeared from the morgue. A girl who died in a boating accident where you'd get totally soaked. Denise wonders whether it's the same dripping wet girl she saw at the hospital loading dock, but dismisses it as coincidence.
Soon after, while driving to work, Denise swerves to avoid a man standing in the middle of the road and nearly crashes her car. Just like the zombie girl at the hospital and the old man in the park, the zombie-like man in the road stares and says nothing. Flustered, Denise tells him to just watch it and drives away. At the studio, Carla is agitated and continues to fumble her lines.
When she becomes frustrated and leaves the set, Denise follows her to try to finally get to the bottom of the whole situation. When the two finally speak, Carla reveals that she is troubled by psychic powers. She tries to warn people, but everyone just thinks she's crazy. She's like, yes, I am drunk. That's true. But I'm not crazy.
Right? Two separate issues.
It's an important distinction.
During this talk, Denise finally finds out about Carla's premonition and futile attempt to warn her about the plane crash. Denise is shaken, but she says, so what? I didn't die. And what? This isn't enough? She knew you would be the sole survivor. That's crazier. I think that's crazier.
Yeah.
This should be enough. Carla says some cryptic shit and walks away. This is like her trademark, her calling card. This is what she does, her whole thing. Denise attempts to follow the actress, but after taking a seemingly malfunctioning elevator, she winds up alone in a spooky underground parking garage where she hears her name whispered again. Denise! She tries to find her way out, but comes face to face with another zombie-like man. This one is the scariest of all. He looks like Timu Charles Bronson.
Yeah, a little bit.
Even though she explicitly tells him to be cool, man, he pursues her. Turns out they can do more than just stand there. Denise narrowly escapes in another elevator, but it's a close one. That afternoon at a restaurant, Denise tells Brian she feels as if she will be caught soon. Like she's just waiting for something bad to happen. Babe, again, this is OCD. I'd love to know how many times she has to go back to her apartment to check her flat iron before she goes to work. Brian warns that the majority of soul survivors die within 2 years of living through a catastrophe because they are often careless and wander into life-threatening situations. Okay. This does explain what happened to all those Final Destination kids. They got too cocky.
I feel like this is a made-up statistic.
No.
I tried to find info about it. I couldn't find the exact info. But according to HuffingtonPost.com, there was only 15 airline crashes between 1970 and 2010 with a
really?
Sole survivor. With a sole survivor. Oh. Yeah. So 6 of the survivors were minors, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And 4 were crew members.
Well, their bones are rubber.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about what happened to them afterwards, right?
No. There's no information about them dying.
There's
early.
Been no peer-reviewed studies about
no.
this. So, Dee Dee instinctually knows this as a soul survivor. And she says she did not go looking for all this trouble, which is true. Mm-hmm. We've seen it. While they talk about it, they notice a man silently standing across the street in the rain. The now sort of seeing someone, Dr. Brian, dismisses the man as one of many weirdos in the city. But Denise is internally troubled by what Carla had to say.
Later that evening, Denise is in need of company and goes across the street to Christy's house, interrupting a game of strip poker with her and her friends. Because being stoned all the time has given her cosmic awareness,
yep.
Christy intuits that Denise has karma so thick around her you could have cut it with a butter knife. And ask her friend to leave.
Okay.
What is the age difference between Christy and Denise?
At first she comes to the hospital and you're like, oh yeah, okay, they're friends.
Yeah.
But then you see her here and you're like, does she have braces?
Yeah, she looks and acts 19.
Yeah.
She said she was a senior last year, so that also confirmed unless she was a senior in college. They don't seem that close, but Christy was the one she called to pick her up at the hospital, so I'm like, she has no friends.
Watch, Dee Dee is like 23.
You think so?
Yeah.
She looks old as hell with her outfits.
Honestly, I can't remember right now.
She looks at least 30.
Even in that fall flirty outfit.
Yes, at least 30.
The little hat.
I don't know. Maybe she's not.
At least 30. Yeah, I can see it.
She's a producer.
She's a producer.
You get there at 23.
She had to
no.
work her way up.
So Christy listens as Denise discusses her recent problems with the coffee commercial. And they mildly drag Carla.
Just a little.
When Denise falls asleep on the couch, Christy walks to Denise's empty house with plans to invite her friends there.
Jeez, Christy really wants to see Randy the Paperboy's dick.
Yeah, at this point I was like, this guy Randy, he looks super young.
Yeah.
It's weird. She enters the gorgeous home and is attacked by a stranger who pulls her outside and violently drowns her in the swimming pool. After Denise awakens, she looks across the street and sees the same man who is in the middle of the highway standing at her front door. She telephones the police and barricades herself in Christy's house. But the vibes are off.
They're all the way off.
Knobs are turning on their own, scary shadows are passing outside, and Denise is startled by the man she's seen lurking around. The police finally show up and threaten to shoot her. At the station, Lieutenant Patterson tells Brian that after checking the homes, they had found nothing suspicious. Only a note from Christy that she is away with friends. And Christy, wink, wink, has a history, wink, wink, about this sort of thing, especially now that her parents are out of town, wink, wink.
What does that mean? Does Dr. Brian get this info because he's the closest man available for Denise? What is happening here?
The lieutenant also tells Brian that the man Denise identified as the person at the front door was a highway inspector who died of a heart attack in his car a couple days before. Therefore, he could not have been at Denise's house. Patterson also indicates to the doctor that Denise might be imagining these occurrences since she was drinking alcohol and taking antidepressants that evening. Definitely not single anymore. Dr. Brian is cool, so he plays it off and says, okay, and... But you can tell he's confused about what the hell is going on here. Later, Denise tells Brian she's been thinking about this soul survivor thing. And maybe when she didn't die in the plane crash, it's a screw up in the universe. And they have to set things right. And they have to get them.
She's talking wild.
She's starting to talk like Carla.
You're right. She ends her theory with, I don't know, is something interesting to think about, which is the thing people say to you when they've just said something that you should absolutely not consider any further.
Yeah. Brian changes the subject and questions her state of mind while drinking on the antidepressants.
Boy, he and I could not be together. This is a problem for you.
Denise insists she was not inebriated and is positive the highway inspector was the same person at her front door and the one standing in the road. Brian concedes that the cops have been wrong before.
Sure.
And leaves to check in with the contact at the morgue.
Okay.
Because Dr. Brian Richardson is now in a serious relationship, Denise stays at his apartment and requests that her answering service forward calls there.
Sure. Carla telephones Denise to apologize for her behavior during the commercial and ask for her job back, but Denise is unable to help. Carla says she understands, asks if Denise's house was broken into the night before, then abruptly hangs up. Love to get a call from Carla. Always a pleasure. Never weird or disorienting. Just good vibes, a lot of fun every time. Coherent. After the call, Carla realizes she has a role to play now. She runs water in her tub, sits at her vanity, and contemplates a razor blade.
No, don't do it, Carla.
Don't do it, Carla. At the morgue, Brian's friend Artie shows him the body of a student who killed himself after failing algebra. Concerning.
Sarah, don't do it.
Oh, my God. But my future, Corey.
You're going to pass.
Thank you.
With a D minus.
I have to get a C.
No, why?
That's what I have to get to pass this class.
What?
Yeah.
Said who?
C's get degrees.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it.
It's the law.
What?
They changed it.
When?
Last year or something.
That's stupid.
I'm not going to kill myself over it.
Don't do it.
Thank you.
You'll just take the class again and be the wise person in the
class. I'll do good this time. You've talked me off the ledge. Brian asks about the supposedly dead man that Denise has accused, and Artie tells him that the highway inspector and other recent corpses appear to have been standing or walking after they died, as indicated by blood pooling in their legs.
Yeah, he's pretty skeptical about the police work in this case. He thinks it's unlikely that the highway inspector had a massive heart attack, drove off the road, and bit the big weenie, as he says, without anyone seeing him.
Well, as we've discussed, multiple universes, infinite possibilities.
When he telephones Denise, Brian receives a message that she has taken a cab home to pick up clothes in her car. Rushing there, he passes a cab on the side of the road and finds the dead body of the driver nearby, having been killed by the zombie Christy. And RIP to this man.
I don't think we've talked about him yet, right?
No.
He's the same driver that took Dee Dee where she was going. He died doing what he loved, getting too horny listening to daytime shock jocks and hoping to coerce strange women into having sex with him in the cab. Fly high with the angels, super freak.
Yeah, he had no chance. But he was like, I'm going for it.
You never know. Side note, one of the on-air callers to this weird radio show, they're like, how do you like to turn on your man? And she calls and says that she likes to dress up like her man's stepmother to turn him on. And like, we love an early adopter. The doctor arrives at the house, and while looking for Denise, he finds zombie Christy. Denise appears just in time to see Brian being stabbed by Christy's reanimated corpse. Fleeing the house, Denise attempts to drive away, but is forced to escape the clutches of the zombie cab driver.
Not again.
I know, this twice in one day she's had to get away from this guy. While driving through downtown Santa Ana, Denise runs out of gas, and she is forced to walk alone on the city street. When a group of men approach her, Denise wastes no time in pulling out the pistola that she took from Brian just before he was killed. She flashes that shit immediately.
Yeah.
As she should. After a brief standoff between Denise and the men, they all move on. They say, she's not going to do shit.
But we're going to leave just in case.
Just in case. Thinking fast, a bloody Denise boards a city bus and rides alone, noticing another zombie man on the street, exactly where Carla saw she would be.
Ah, yeah, this is the scene from the beginning.
Sure is. Panic-stricken, Denise goes to Carla's apartment and says the actress is the one person who understands her predicament. As Denise reaches for the telephone to call the police, she hears a gun click and looks up to see Carla aiming at her. The wounds in her wrist still fresh. With a sigh and smile of contentment, Denise accepts her fate and Carla shoots her dead. Having completed what she set out to do, the actress's reanimated corpse returns to the bathroom, disrobes, and steps back into the bathtub where she had earlier committed suicide. Down at the morgue, Artie is with the bodies of Denise, Brian, Carla, Christy, and the pervert taxi driver. He continues to be puzzled at how the blood in the bodies. God damn it. Cut. I'm Carla now.
Carla, get it together.
Sorry, I'm a drunk.
But you're not crazy.
I'm not crazy. He continues to be puzzled at how the blood in the bodies of the last corpses drained into their legs. Is that cement? After talking to the skeptic Lieutenant Patterson over the phone about the... Who wrote this?
You're always giving those tough words.
I know.
Irregularity.
After talking to the skeptic Lieutenant Patterson over the phone about the irregularity, Artie vows to take this all the way to the top and begins to type out a report on his findings. Behind him, Christy and the others slowly rise up from their slabs and gurneys as the voice now whispers, Arthur.
Wow. His government name.
I know. This ending is so weird. What did he do?
What did he do? Why him?
He didn't evade death. Mm-mm. He's just doing his job.
Yep.
So we're supposed to assume the corpses just like didn't want their secret to get out?
To presumably kill him in order to keep the supernatural events of The Walking Dead suppressed. A big cover-up. The ending raises a lot more questions than it answers.
Yeah, really. Well, that happens a lot.
Also, so everybody dies?
Yeah. Bummer.
We don't see that very often.
We don't. No soul survivors. Well, I guess Artie's the sole survivor.
No, not for long.
Not for long.
No sole survivors. Wow, really makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sole survivor, I guess. I really can't remember anymore.
Yeah. What did you think? So you had seen this before.
Yeah.
Do you remember liking it?
Like, yeah, I like this movie.
You still like it?
I understand why people compare it to Final Destination, but it, I think it's more like It Follows.
I definitely got that feeling during parts. Yeah.
It's both.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little combo.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. They don't explain as much as like Final Destination does.
No.
And they don't have the elaborate death sequences.
And they don't have Dust in the Wind.
No.
But yeah, some elaborate death sequences, some Rube Goldberg machines.
Mm.
You put a little piece of toast in the toaster and somehow your doorbell kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that.
No. It's pretty normal deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
It's okay.
It's okay. I like it.
It's a little boring.
I guess
towards
so.
The end, I feel like, which is weird because that's when the deaths start happening. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's also when it gets more boring. Like the second half.
I feel like the premise is a little different. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine for me. I like it okay.
Hmm.
I guess we don't have much to say about it.
Yeah. Is anything like, okay, we like the set decoration because that was an interesting.
We
like
the set decoration.
Did you like the actors?
I was just going to say, I really liked the chemistry between the doctor and Dee Dee.
Okay.
You didn't? Well, it was very natural. I thought it was cute.
I don't know.
Why?
It was okay. She was just an odd person to me.
That's what I thought was cute about it.
Okay.
He liked her. He went to bat for her right away.
That's true.
I don't know. I liked him, I guess, the more necessarily. Mm. I liked him. Like I said, I was like, where do I know this guy from? But it was from nowhere. Okay.
It was all right.
It's fine. Yeah.
It was like very in the middle. I was like,
sure.
I was into it at the beginning and then I started to lose interest. I'm like, okay.
Because like, why Carla?
Yeah, why Carla? I mean, that's fine.
It's just what she's always done.
She's psychic.
She's psychic. Automatic room. Okay. What do we do next? It's been so long.
Next movie? Did Malton weigh in?
Lenny, no comment. Not specifically, but implicitly.
Mm-hmm.
Dread Central, 4 out of 5. The pacing and restraint of this film is well done and effective. It does have its moments of blood and gore, such as in the early shots of the guts through an airplane crash.
Mm-hmm. True.
We like the guts. But it also achieves a smart restraint that encourages a tense mood and atmosphere.
Mm.
Yeah, because when I think about it, I'm like, there's no big set piece that really sticks out for me.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a problem. Maybe the beginning is the biggest set piece.
With the airplane crash?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With the automatic writing. Mm-hmm. With that opium set.
Do you think that was War of the Worlds, like how they got their inspiration for that one scene, the airplane crash?
Yes.
That you see when you go to the Universal Studios?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jaws jumps out of the water. I've never been there.
Every movie got inspired by this. Final Destination, War of the Worlds, It Follows.
It Follows.
Jaws.
Network.
Yeah.
Very influential.
Yeah. That's not being denied.
What?
That's not being denied by anyone.
No. I don't see anything written here about that. Video Hounds. Okay. Dread Central, 4 out of 5. Video Hounds, 1.5 bone out of 4.
Wow.
Huge difference. Why
you can't
swinging
please
wildly.
These dogs.
What do they want? They lick their own assholes.
We got to do an episode and get somebody from Video Hands on
I know,
the pod.
I'm dying. That. What if it's just a golden retriever? It better not be. I don't want to see any golden retrievers. What kind of dog do you think writes for Video Hounds? Oh, fucking cool Spuds McKenzie dog.
No.
Why?
I don't think so. Okay. I think they would like more of the movies that we like. I think it's
Oh yeah, you're right.
Oh god.
Right on cue.
Gomez says he writes for Video House.
Maybe it's a chihuahua.
Maybe it is.
Hey, shut up.
1.5 bones out of 4. A group of zombies are searching for a beautiful advertising executive who was the sole survivor of a plane crash. Thanks, Video House. Thanks for weighing in. Always happy to hear from you.
You brought so much.
Yeah. So glad that we keep going back here. Thank you, Jason. We're always giving me the Video House review. Love to read it and see what they have to say.
We can never stop doing it now.
So insightful. Just pisses me off.
One day they're going to like a movie.
It's going to be one of those ones on YouTube where it's just like 20 hours of birds or whatever. Okay, so we have to do our ratings now.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 10?
Out of 5? Yes, we're going to go out of 10.
This time.
Well, this time, like we always do.
Okay. Oh. I give it a 6.5.
6.5?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you whisper it?
I don't know.
Say it loud and proud.
I give it a 6.5.
Okay.
It's fine. It's just right in the middle. A little bit better than totally in the middle.
Me, it's totally in the middle. I give it a 5.
Okay. I think we're right here.
Yeah.
It's all on track.
I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah. You got it out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Watch it if you've never seen it. Mm-hmm. And then you probably won't watch it again.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it 3 times. Probably more times than you need to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are we watching next?
Oh, I picked the next one.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch this movie because I'd always seen a clip from this movie.
Oh, I know the one.
We are watching Deadly Friend. First time watch for me? First time watch for you?
Yes.
Yay.
Yay. I'm excited. Wes Craven movie.
Wes Craven.
The art for it on our server looks more 90s.
It does.
Than 80s.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. Yay.
Can't wait.
I know. Okay. Well, we have to go. We have to make another drink. It's spring break.
Yeah. Who knows how this episode will turn out?
I know. I'm concerned.
It'll be. There's some bones in there. Call in and tell us, how did you spend your spring break?
How did you spend your spring break? Did you dye eggs the whole time?
Did you flash time?
Yeah, so many eggs. Did you flash your titties? Did you go to Freaknik?
Yeah, let us know.
661-454-7499. Put it in your phone.
Put it in your phone. Call us when you're drunk.
Don't text us.
Don't text us.
I cannot get text messages at that number.
No.
Call me. Dedicate a song to me over the phone. Sing it to me. Sometimes boys used to do that for me. Jason.
Yeah?
Will you dedicate a song to me that you call and sing it on my voicemail? He's going to do it. I'll let you guys know which song he picks. As always. Donate to the Bakersfield Burrito Project. Help us feed our hungry and homeless neighbors here in Bakersfield on Cash App and Venmo, Bako Burrito Project.
Follow us on Instagram at Gag Me With A Chainsaw. Also, stick it up your butt.
No! Did we learn anything from this movie? No.
No.
Did we have fun drinking martinis?
Yes. Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on Gag Me With A Chainsaw with your hosts, Corey and Sarah. Music by White Bat Audio. Find us on Twitter @ Chainsaw Podcast and on Instagram @gagmewithachainsaw. Until next time, unpleasant dreams.